From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Organizations who feed the hungry are obviously a critical part in the equation to end hunger in our state, but perhaps just as important are organizations who advocate and lobby elected leaders to do more to end hunger. Today on the show, you'll meet one of these organizations as we continue our series on hunger in our community and state. The mission of Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon is to work alongside those most impacted by hunger and make lasting systemic changes through transformative policies and removing barriers to access resources. Recently, the organization helped secure policies so that 3 out of every 4 Oregon schools can provide free meals for all students in the 24-25 school year. You'll learn about these efforts next on Oregon on the Record. First, the news. Ali Yee, the interim executive director for Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, you know, why don't you contextualize for us, give us an idea of the problem of hunger here in Oregon in any way that you can quantify it.
Yeah, so the data shows currently that about 1 in 8 Oregonians and 1 in 6 children in Oregon face hunger. Food insecurity is hitting hardest among families with kids and rural communities, people of color, and with those who are just barely above the income limits to qualify for a lot of help and assistance. There is over 750,000 Oregonians who receive SNAP, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which is our country's main food assistance program, to put food on their table every month. And that includes households with children, seniors, veterans, working families, and a lot of times the SNAP food benefit is the only way that folks can pay for food each month. And I think it's also important to note that hunger has been increasing in Oregon in the past several years, and we see that as the cost of food goes up, housing, rent, healthcare, childcare, all of these expenses are going up. And so we've been seeing that food assistance providers and food banks have been strained trying to keep up with, you know, the rising cost of food for themselves and the increasing needs that they're seeing in communities.
Yeah. Can you, for us, Oregon is an interesting state. It's a very urban state along the I-5 corridor. And then, of course, it's a very rural state, outside of that region. And I wondered, from your view, do you see differences between urban Oregon and rural Oregon with regard to this issue of hunger?
Yeah. So both urban and rural communities in Oregon face rising hunger right now. But as you kind of mentioned, the causes and barriers can look very different in those different areas. In urban areas, I think folks are navigating high housing costs, low wages, and actually just a lot of competition for the charitable food resources that are available. And while cities, you know, tend to have more food providers, there's also longer lines, crowded pantries. A lot of folks, transportation might still be a barrier there, especially for seniors or immigrants or people with disabilities. And in rural Oregon, it looks a bit different. One of the biggest challenges is just access itself. Many communities only have one pantry or none at all. A lot of them are serving very large geographic regions. So transportation is a big barrier and concern here. People might need to drive 30, 60, even 100 miles to get food, and with gas prices and everything, that can become very challenging. I think there's also kind of the remoteness and the issue of supply chains, right? That food providers may experience severe shortages if there are any emergencies that happen. There's fewer grocery stores. Folks have to drive the food out a lot further from urban areas. And so we see that there is hunger statewide, but it does look very different, and it is all equally urgent. Urban areas are kind of overwhelmed by demand right now, and then rural areas also are constrained by distance and some lack of infrastructure.
Okay. You know, Ali, one of the things I like to do on this show is do a little bit of myth busting, and I'd like to take the opportunity now, because I would imagine there's sort of a stereotype of a person or a family that needs to avail themselves to food pantries and food banks. And I'm wondering if if there's sort of this, you know, that what we might think is true may not be true. Are there surprising aspects of who needs supplemental nutrition, you know, compared to, I don't know, the general population?
Yeah, I think hunger is both more pervasive and more invisible than folks may think. There's a lot of families who are experiencing food insecurity who may not look hungry. And, you know, it's parents and grandparents who might skip meals so that their kids can eat. And some of that kind of masks the true level of need. A lot of people experiencing hunger are working families. They have incomes, but they may be experiencing low wages and stretch, like I mentioned before, between like high housing costs, medical bills, childcare, and it kind of forces folks to have to choose between food and paying for other basic needs. And actually, SNAP helps lift 100,000 people in Oregon out of poverty each year. So it's folks who are really on that line of will they make it or not, and assistance like SNAP helps to make sure that they can cover their bills and put food on the table. I think the other thing for me that is a bit surprising or may not be as well known is that immigrant and farm worker communities are among the most impacted by hunger. They are essential to our agriculture sector, to our food economy, to making sure to getting food to our tables, right? And they are often excluded from the federal safety nets to provide food for them. And we saw this further exclusion expand with HR 1, which passed over the summer, which brought some of the biggest cuts to SNAP that we have seen in the program's history. And so that policy has made refugees and asylees, trafficking survivors, folks who are here with legal status, ineligible for SNAP, folks who have fled violence and come here seeking safety and a chance to rebuild their lives. And I think that's a pretty appalling part of how our food system is currently working.
And for folks, I believe H.R. 1, many people might know it as the big, beautiful bill that came out of the Trump administration. Let me quickly reintroduce you to our audience, talking with Ali Yee. She is interim executive director for Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon. Tell us about your organization. Tell us how you work. Tell us how, you know, you are part of the solution, intercepting people who need supplemental nutrition, who need food.
Yeah. So Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon, we're an independent nonprofit organization. We also administer the Oregon Hunger Task Force, which is a statewide legislative body that addresses hunger in Oregon. And so across these two kind of entities, we work on both the immediate impacts of hunger and the root causes of hunger. Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon helps families access programs like SNAP and school meals and WIC and expanding access to those programs equitably statewide, reducing the administrative barriers to accessing them. The Oregon Hunger Task Force brings together legislators, agency directors, community leaders, folks experiencing food insecurity. They work to collect data, identify gaps, and make recommendations for long-term solutions. That's kind of the policy drive of addressing the systemic barriers like poverty and racism, issues like accessing affordable housing, which are all so intertwined with folks being able to afford food and access food across the state. And so across these areas of work, we are trying to make sure that people can meet their needs today while also pushing for the systemic changes that we want to see in Oregon to end hunger in the state.
Has our food system and organizations such as yours, have we put the shock to the system that was COVID far enough on our rearview mirror, or are we still living with some of the impacts of what COVID did for both people experiencing hunger, but then organizations such as yours trying to help?
Yeah. I think that there was a huge shock in 2020 and with COVID. Actually, a lot of the food service assistance organizations, especially the more grassroots ones, and meal services and pantries and things like that sprung up during COVID times, and we're really trying to meet that need. That system really has been strained, I think, and folks have been strained as COVID era funding has gone away in more recent years. I think that's been part of contributing to the rising hunger that we see in this state. And so that definitely has kind of reverberations today about the need for that infrastructure that developed at that time, and that we still need that infrastructure, and that infrastructure is not being supported so that it can be sustainable and reliable. And resilient going forward. And we really need that right now because there are these threats coming to vital foods, food programs like SNAP. And with just the overall increasing cost of living, that's really impacting folks.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record from KLCC. When we come back, more of our conversation with Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon. We're back. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record on KLCC. Let's get back to our conversation with Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon. You've done a great job explaining some of the challenges because of what's happening at the federal level. And I'm wondering, you know, can the local communities and the states, can they make up for the funding shortfall? Are there creative solutions? You talked about your task force and finding the root causes. I mean, are there aspects to find more money outside of the federal government possible, or is that just, we're talking just too much money to have to make up for?
You know, it's a both and, right?
Okay.
It is a huge gap that the federal government provides so much support and funding for this, for food assistance, and it is a huge gap that the state probably cannot backfill to cover completely. And at the same time, we need to approach this crisis with our values as Oregonians, with our commitment to food being a human right, and continue to remind our leaders and our neighbors that no one should go hungry in a country as wealthy as ours, truly. And so there's a couple different areas that we are pushing for. The Oregon Hunger Task Force has been working with policymakers to make sure that the Oregon Hunger Task Force has been working really closely with the governor's office and other policymakers to ensure that they understand the impacts that these cuts will have on communities and the urgency of protecting food access. We've also been working really hard to make sure that Oregonians and the public receive accurate information about what is going on and can work with the state to identify solutions to ensure our most vulnerable neighbors can still access food. Some of that means shoring up the support, both for kind of our centralized food bank system, but also to the kind of network of folks who are supporting local communities access to that sustainable resources so that they can continue to meet the need that they're seeing. The other big push that we are looking at is to ensure that schools are a place where at least kids can reliably get access to food, to have free breakfast and lunch at school. This is something that we've been pushing for a decade now. We're very close to making sure that every single kid at a public school can receive those free meals. And so that's another area that we think we can make some progress and make sure that folks can have some access as these other areas are being impacted.
Okay. You talked a lot about SNAP and how vital that program is. And of course, SNAP was suspended during the government shutdown to some degree. And it's you know, the government has been reopened and SNAP money is flowing. But I am wondering, are you still seeing kind of a clog in the system for SNAP benefits to get to where it needs to go so that your organization and other organizations can help people who need food?
Yeah, I think the federal shutdown happened when we were already raising the alarms about H.R. 1. The cuts to SNAP, that came through that legislation started going into effect, or folks started getting notice of them in October, and benefits were reduced or started to be cut for folks starting in November, I believe. And so, the federal government has reopened and most of the SNAP funding has come back, but these cuts are still happening. Folks are actually still receiving notices about impacts to their benefits. So, I think we were already raising alarms about that issue and meeting with lawmakers, educating folks, working with service providers on how to help folks navigate what those changes are so that they can still access their benefits. A big piece of that legislation was expanding work requirements. So we're trying to put out information to make sure that people know how they can fulfill those work requirements or how they can apply for an exemption. So I think the clog in the system, in terms of how it is operating, SNAP is back to operating the way it would normally operate, and folks are receiving their benefits, should be receiving it on their regular schedule in December. The clog in the system is gone, but the system has been reduced, right? The cuts to the program that were passed over the summer are going into effect right now. This can impact up over 300,000 Oregonians who are receiving SNAP. Those notices are going up. So the system is working again, but it is being scaled back and cut, and that is still impacting folks' access to food. And I would say in terms of the impacts from the shutdown, what we're seeing from food assistance providers and service providers is that there's still a huge need, kind of that spike in demand for those services that happened in the kind of the height of the shutdown crisis that hasn't gone away. Folks are still filling up their wait lists. There are still lines out there. It's not like because the shutdown ended, that crisis is over. We are still seeing the reverberating effects from that crisis and also the broader crisis that has been created by the increased food insecurity that we were already seeing and the cuts to food assistance that passed federally this summer.
Okay. Ali, my last question for you is this. We've talked about a lot of negative things impacting hunger in our state and our nation locally. What are some things working? What are some things that sort of give you optimism in your, Herculean task of trying to make Oregon hunger-free?
Yeah. I would say, the government shutdown was terrible. This hunger crisis is a very human-made disaster. But I think amid that crisis, we also saw how the strength of communities come out, how the best in people come out. We saw, these mutual aid groups and food banks and like local community fridges. Everyone was coming out and doing life-saving work for their neighbors. People were contributing donations all over the place and running their own food drives and fundraising efforts and volunteering. And so I think that is one area that we see that there is this community strength and resilience that we all still rely on when our systems fail us. I also am hopeful that this crisis showed a much broader swath of the public and of our policymakers that food is a human right. This is something that food advocates have been saying for a long time. We say hunger is a policy choice and food is a human right, and we've been fighting for it. And I think that that idea instilled in people on a much deeper level through experiencing the shutdown crisis and seeing how many people would be impacted and how essential food is to people. And so my hope is that in the coming weeks and months and years, as we move away from the holiday season where hunger kind of gets a little bit more attention, for this year-round, everyday issue that so many folks and families are dealing with, so that we can actually build a sustainable, robust food system that makes sure that everyone can access food, not just emergency to emergency, but a food system that is equitable, where we can withstand these crises and emergencies and make sure that every Oregonian, no matter what their circumstance is, has reliable access to food. That's our hope.
Well said, well said. Ali Yee, the interim executive director for Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon, Really appreciate you coming on and talking with us.
Thank you so much for this time.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, we'll finish this week's series about hunger in our community and in our state. First, we'll talk with the largest food bank in Central Oregon, and then we'll talk to one of the most on-the-ground and grassroots food distribution organizations in our community. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.